Such an honor to have my next guest on the show. Michael Geyer stopped by. He's an award-winning director and producer, and he created the documentary film Wounded Heroes. Post-traumatic stress among our veterans is a serious problem, with over 20 veterans a day taking their lives by suicide. And just like veterans, firefighters, police officers, and other first responders, they not only deal with PTS, but they also have a very high suicide rate. Most are given prescription drugs, but as many have said, medication is just a band-aid over a wound that will never heal. Our heroes deserve more than just a band-aid, so Michael went on a mission and found successful alternative treatments that give anyone battling PTS their lives back. This award-winning film gives hope and literally saves lives. Michael Geyer, next on the Criminal Justice Evolution podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to the CJ Evolution podcast. I hope everybody's having a great day. If you're not subscribed to the CJ Evolution podcast, please do so and share this show and others with family and friends. And lastly, give us that 5-star rating on Apple Podcast. We sure would appreciate it. Big shout out to all the brave men and women working in the criminal justice field and military personnel protecting this great country. Thank you so much, all of you, for what you're doing. Remember this, no matter how bad it looks in the environment and the landscape and all this anti-police sentiment, remember that the majority of people out there support and love you. Remember that. Keep up the fight. Keep doing a great job. Come home safe. And remember, you are all loved. Our show today is brought to you by Viking Law Enforcement Consulting, LLC. Viking offers assistance to law enforcement agencies and clients, including best practices, technology optimization, forensics, and case reviews. Viking also helps companies bid for government contracts. Reach out to Viking today at vikinglec.com to schedule your free 15-minute phone consultation. And this will be in the show notes. On to Michael Geyer. Hello, everybody. I am very excited to have my next guest on the show. Michael Geyer is an award-winning director-producer. He owns and runs Geyer Productions, a full-service global firm and video production company. He is also behind, he is the person behind, he directed and produced the documentary film called Wounded Heroes, which is available pretty much everywhere, and he's going to talk about. Michael, thank you for being here, sir.
Yes, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Wow, man. Well, first of all, I got to ask, what? I know you're out in LA. We were talking a little bit before we started. What made you get into the film industry and what made you become a producer? Because I always think that's fascinating. I have a lot of friends that are actors, and what made you get into that? What was the catalyst?
Well, you know, I was an entertainer my entire life, and I made a living at it. I'm a singer, dancer, actor, so I did Broadway shows.
Oh, so it was a natural progression, probably.
All over the country, yeah. Well, I got hired to star in a show here in LA for 5 years, and while I was here, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to start working on more TV and film acting, which is what I started to do. And then when I was on set, I thought, man, it'd be sure cool to learn how to be on the other side of the camera. So I bought a bunch of equipment. I hired a college kid and I said, teach me how to use all this stuff. And that started my production company back in 2009. Since then, you know, it's grown. And now we're doing short films, feature films, documentaries, and our usual commercials and corporate videos and all that kind of stuff.
That is amazing. I mean, again, I'm always fascinated by that. So you just asked some college kid, how do I work all this stuff?
Yeah,
I literally. And then how did you learn kind of like the production stuff and the producing? I mean, you had people, I'm assuming, coaches and mentors helping you, right?
Well, you know, I learned a lot of it just being online. I bought a book about how to produce, how to direct. Literally, just bought a big. I think I had 3 or 4 books that I
Google
read.
Google is amazing, my friend.
Yeah, isn't it? You can learn anything. If there's anything I don't know, YouTube, Google it, bam, get the answer, right?
Well, that's cool. Self-taught for the most part.
Yeah, completely. You know,
trial and error kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, and learning how to edit. You know, editing is very difficult. People don't realize what goes into editing and how much time is required to edit even a 2-minute video, let alone, you know, an hour and 50-minute film, which is what Wounded Heroes is. Yeah. It's a big, big job editing. But you know, I'm still in front of the camera as an actor, and I love being behind the camera because now I get to hire actors. And it's amazing to have these actors come through, and you just find these diamonds in the audition process. Yeah. And then I hire them, bring them on set, and then to get to direct them. And it's just, I love it. It's a lot of fun.
Wow. I'm friends with a guy by the name of Remy Adelecki. He's a former Navy SEAL. And he got into acting. He was actually in a couple of Transformer movies. Oh, and when I talked to him, he's like, yeah, it's so cool, you know, just acting and stuff like that, you know, just being on that side of it. I mean, it's just so cool. So, well, I want to talk about Wounded Heroes. I want to talk about that documentary because it's a very important documentary, which we'll talk about. But what inspired you to produce and direct this documentary film, sir?
Well, I originally was planning to do a movie called Wounded Heroes that we wrote a screenplay for. We're going to hire actors, you know, release it theatrically. But I didn't, and it had the topic of post-traumatic stress, but I didn't know much about post-traumatic stress. So I wanted to do some interviews with veterans. Mm-hmm. Because at the time, I thought our military were the only ones who dealt with post-traumatic stress. Yeah. I had no idea that it can happen to anybody. And, you know, of course, first responders, myself, anybody.
Yep. Yeah.
And I never knew that when I started this thing. But so I was interviewing people just to learn more about post-traumatic stress, since that was a storyline in the film. And I met a guy named Carl in San Diego, young guy in his 20s. He was a medic and was very suicidal, had post-traumatic stress. He tried to take his life 3 times. But what really got me was that he told me he was on 18 different prescription drugs and they had just lowered it to 16. And that it wasn't really helping. It was just a Band-Aid pushing back some symptoms. And he was a mess. And I'm like, how is it possible this poor young man is on that many medications and it's not even solving the problem? So I came out of that interview and realized I need to put the other film on hold. And we need to go out and look for successful alternative options that will actually help those battling post-traumatic stress and even get them off the medications. So that started a 3-year journey. And I've been all over the country interviewing the experts and the veterans and first responders. And the film is filled with great treatments and programs that literally give people their lives back.
Yeah. And I love what you said about a very good point about medication, because I think that's the, you know, like the knee jerk reaction a lot of times is, all right, you know, it's like, you know, a kid is acting up. You know, I remember when I was a cop, you know, you go to the, you know, calls where you know, a parent is having difficulty with their kid. They take them to the doctor. Well, you're going to get them on ADHD or some sort of ADHD right. medication. It just seems like that's the knee jerk reaction. And like you, I mean, I know a lot of law enforcement, and again, okay, well, we'll just give you all these drugs. And like you said, it's just a Band-Aid. It's not, I mean, I guess it helps to some degree, but then you get addicted to half this crap.
Well, and you know, they have serious side effects, especially the antipsychotic medications. They're black labeled, which is the FDA's highest labeling for, because of side effects. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is, you know, people are already sometimes suicidal or very depressed, and then they put them on a medication with a side effect of becoming suicidal or depressed, which makes no sense. So many times the medications cause more harm than good. Yeah. And so we really wanted to provide solutions so that they wouldn't have to be on the medications. Yeah. And
the pharmaceutical companies love it because they have a client for life now, or a patient. Now, again, we were talking, Michael, before we started about some of the solutions. And you made a great point before we started about there's a lot of talk out there, you know, PTSD, it's mainstream. Everybody's talking about it. We need to do this. And you made a good point about anybody can suffer from PTSI or PTS, but what are some of the solutions that you learned about as you were making this documentary that could help people?
Yeah, well, there's a number that we feature in the film, a number of them, and I'll explain those in a sec. What was great about the film was every veteran and first responder that I interviewed all at one time were completely hopeless. They thought they'd have to live a miserable life for the rest of their lives. And they had given up, many of them, just because they had tried things that continually let them down because they didn't work. And so they're just like, I'm done. I don't even want to hear. The woman told me this. She didn't even want to hear about another potential treatment that might work, because she says if it didn't and she tried it, it would take her months to recover. And she didn't want to put herself through that. And so she wasn't even looking at anything. And yet every single person I interviewed did find something that's featured in the film that literally changed their lives and gave them their lives back. So much so that, as you see in the trailer, and I know you saw the trailer, you know, amazing. One fireman and a veteran, he said, I've never been happier in my entire life. And another woman who said, life is worth living again. One of my favorites is a gentleman who said, I feel like a soldier again. I don't know why that one just really gets me, but I really like. So oh, these yeah. are people who were hopeless, suicidal, and now they're making those kind of statements because of the treatments that we were able to find. Yeah. And so some of them are, one's called like horse therapy. Many people know about horse therapy, but we get on to a ranch in San Diego called Saddles and Service. And it's a beautiful ranch, and just hearing the veterans and the first responders talk about just bonding yeah. with a horse, and the horses are rescue horses. So they were kind of healing each other. But it was powerful to see. We also talk about something, accelerated resolution therapy and RTM, reconsolidation of traumatic memories. They're both very similar. They're neurological intervention. And what's great about those is you don't even have to talk about the trauma. It's not like what the VA has, the prolonged exposure therapy, which, you know, it hasn't helped a lot of people because they don't want to have to be exposed to that trauma over and over and over again. It causes them to drop out. Some have taken their lives by suicide because of it. There are a few that were benefiting from that particular procedure, but most don't. So with this RTM or ART, you don't even have to talk about the trauma, which is huge for many yeah. people battling post-traumatic stress. And what they do neurologically is they sever the emotion from the memory. And so there was a time before they had the treatment that they couldn't even think about it or even talk about it without just feeling so much emotion. And, you know, it was really difficult on them. After the treatment, though, they're able to literally have it severed so they can now talk about it, but they feel no emotion. Yeah. They're like completely free from it and everything that came with it. That trauma is no longer a trauma in their life. Every one of them said they slept for the first time in, one guy, 40 years, others wow. 20 years, you know, and have slept ever since. So those two treatments I really love. Then we went to some programs, week-long programs, Warfighter Advance on the East Coast. And there's another one, Warfighter Advance. And I forget the other one.
Well, but, they can see it in the documentary.
Yeah. I have to watch it to remind myself. But, you know, what was great about those was too many people battling post-traumatic stress try to battle this thing alone. And when you're out overseas, now I'm not a military guy, but I do know that when you're out overseas and you're in battle and you need support, you know, you're going to call for it. And you've got somebody who's going to come in, who's got your back, and they're going to help you take out the enemy. It's no different when you come home that you shouldn't be looking for like-minded people who can have your back, and together you can fight and overcome the enemy, which in this case is post-traumatic stress. And these week-long programs are just wonderful for that. You get a whole new tribe, people who have your back, people who you can check in with for years to come. And so the two programs that we feature are outstanding and make a huge difference in the lives of those coming together. We also did something called the Brain Treatment Center. So there's just a lot of different things. And then we go through steps. I had Doc Springer. Do you know Doc Springer?
I've heard of him. Yes.
He is a fabulous. So she's, you know, she's not military, but they've accepted her as one of their own because she is so good at helping mm-hmm. people with whatever they're going through. And I'm a big fan of hers. Now she's featured in the film throughout the film because she had so much wisdom during the interview that I ended up putting her in quite a bit. And then at the end of the film, you know, we show all these great treatments, but we talk about the three things you need to do for next steps for success. And, you know, there's not one treatment that works for every person.
Yeah.
People have to decide what works best for them and their personality, because there's another one that we feature called stellate ganglion block, and it's a shot in the neck. Have you heard of that one?
I don't think I have, no.
So the military uses it currently on special forces. VA, some of the VAs across the country are doing it, but what it is they do a shot in the neck and it does a reboot, because many people battling post-traumatic stress, they're just always hyped up.
So it's like a medicine or something? Or
it's anesthetic.
Oh, anesthetic.
Just a simple anesthetic, the same stuff they use for women who are giving birth. You know, just
So
it's, you know, it's obviously, it's nothing dangerous. It's a shot that costs like $2. So, you know, pharmaceutical companies don't really care if you use it or not, because they're not making any money. It's a $2, you know, thing, you know, but the bottom line is it works, you know, and what it does is it reboots everything. So if you've got that fight or flight, and you're just always ramped up, this just goes in and numbs the area. And the doctors in the film can explain it much better than me, but it numbs the area. And about 6 hours later, the numbing wears off. And basically it's rebooted your system so that you're no longer that fight or flight. You know, you're like, you can finally calm down and relax and be at a place where you can now get help with like ART or RTM or horse therapy or all the other things that, had you not had the shot, you would not even be able to look at or even consider, because you're so ramped up and so, you know, messed up. And so SGB is a quick fix for those who need that. and then it can be followed up with other treatments. Many people don't need cell ganglion block. They can just go straight to the RTM type of treatment and then follow it up with horse therapy if they want. But, you know, it's all of their own personalities. But the bottom line is there's a lot of options that are featured in the film. And then the three things for success at the end of the film are finding a new mission. You know, our military first responders, they are trained. They are the best of the best. And, you know, find a new mission now that you're back. That's important. Get around other people that are like-minded so that you can fight this battle together. And then, of course, the third thing is just making sure you find one of the options featured in the film or elsewhere. And, you know, give it a shot.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you made a good point about a new mission, because I struggled with, when I left law enforcement, it was like an identity crisis for me. And I know you did see that in your years of making this film. And you know, another thing too, and you probably saw this, Michael, when you were interviewing, you know, people for the film and the documentary, is it is very hard for first responders and military people. And I can speak more of the first responder area to come forward and admit things, because we are trained. I was trained, you know, from a very young age in the military, we just push stuff down. Mm-hmm. We just push it down. You know, it's down there, and you cannot see. And you, again, preaching to the choir, because you've worked on this with a documentary. There's only so much trauma and human suffering that you can see before it starts bubbling up starts coming to the surface. So the biggest thing for first responders, and I saw this again when I was on the job, is just getting people to come forward and saying, "I need help," because it's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength.
Yeah.
And we need to be taking better care of our first responders and military personnel.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, part of the problem is you've got superiors that are saying, don't be a pussy and go back and say you've got post-traumatic stress, you know, and they're wrong. You know, they're no one's a pussy by admitting that they need help. We all do from time to time. We're all human.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons we took the D off of post-traumatic stress disorder, we got rid of the disorders, because it's not a disorder. It's a normal reaction to any traumatic event. And so it is normal. And you can actually do a scan of the brain and see that there's a post-traumatic stress issue, have a treatment and see that issue be gone. It's no longer in the scan. So you can see the injury in the brain. And so that's why some do call it post-traumatic stress injury, which we're fine with. And we also just call it post-traumatic stress. But it's a normal reaction.
Yeah. And I like what you said about superiors, because, you know, it's a lot of it is, and you know, by talking and doing this is, you know, it's the culture of an organization and it has to start from the top. I mean, you can be a change agent and not have any rank or anything. And I get that. But if the senior leadership is not on board, then it's going to be an uphill battle for that organization. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of people out there, a lot of senior leadership out there that are antiquated now, still antiquated. And it's going to take some time before a new generation comes up. They're more aware of this. They're more informed. They watch films like yours and they say, look, man, we need to, you know, put more emphasis on that. I think we've come a long way, Michael, since when I was a cop. I mean, I used to remember getting into critical incidents. It was like, all right, do your paper, get back on the street.
Yeah.
And it was, okay, you didn't talk about it. Now we've progressed, but I still think we have a long way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's a guy I met, I cannot remember how to pronounce his name, but it's Ramon. He goes by CZ. He's at the very top of the military. And he's released videos talking about his struggle with post-traumatic stress. And he's an advisor to the top general in the country. He's the SEAC, if you know who that is, SEAC. Yeah. It's amazing because he's at the very top for him to be so honest and to talk about his struggle with post-traumatic stress. And he actually has found success with the stellate ganglion block that I talked about earlier. I just was a guest on his podcast. And he and Doc Springer and myself, we just all talked about the solutions and what he's found that's worked. But the bottom line is, here's a guy saying, I needed help. I battled post-traumatic stress and I'm at the top of the military. So anybody else, it's okay to say you're battling it as well. And that's important. As you said, it has to come from the top. And here's an example of where it does. And that's very helpful.
How important do you think, Michael, are things like meditation, you know, mindfulness, yoga, if you're into that? I mean, how important, you know, do you think those are, those components, when it comes to helping with PTS, you know, and you know, a lot of other mental things that people are dealing with?
So we don't talk a lot about that in the film, but we do show it. The two different camps that we went to, one in particular, they use the yoga and meditation and have found great success with it. And, you know, again, it's a combination of things. Mm-hmm. So some people will find success with the meditation. Of course, you're just calming everything down and focusing. And, you know, I think that's a good thing. It's the same as getting outdoors for a 3-day weekend or something, out to the mountains, unplug. That, like meditation, can completely change a person's life, especially if you go out there with like-minded people who understand you and understand what you're going through. Going fishing, you know, there's a Jay Garstecki's got a TV show on Discovery that another season's they're about to start filming it, but he, you know, he takes people out and hunting or fishing or outdoors, and then they just talk about who they are, what they experienced overseas, and, you know, how they're dealing with post-traumatic stress. And it's powerful, but just getting outdoors is helpful.
Yeah.
So it's a combination of things that can work.
Yeah. And it's like you said, being around those like-minded individuals, you know, that you can, because I think you are who you surround yourself with. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you need to have a good support group. And I know you talk about this in the film too, right? I mean, that's a big part of it. You got to have Absolutely. A support mechanism. You got to have people that you can go to, mm-hmm. not people that are going to lift you up, not bring you down.
Exactly. And if there's anybody bringing you down, they need to be out of your life. You know, we all need to pick and choose, you know, who we surround ourselves with, as you're saying, and you don't need or want those negative influences. Nobody does. Life's too short. And we want people who believe in us, who can encourage us, who can help us. And then we, for them as well, it goes both ways. But yeah, that's who you want in your life.
Now, who do you see? I mean, what's your guess, Michael? And I know this is probably a broad question I'll ask you anyway. I mean, are you seeing more problems with PTS from military personnel, or are you seeing it with first responders, or is it kind of equal?
Well, I haven't looked at the numbers to know exactly, mm-hmm. but what just interviewing people and talking to people, it seems to be rampant with both.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was surprised how high the suicide rate is for first responders,
oh, yeah.
just like veterans. You know, that was shocking to me. So I believe, you know, from what I've experienced in talking to everybody, it's hitting both pretty hard.
Yeah. And the one thing I want to mention, you probably know this, Michael, is a lot of people, when they hear first responders, they think of the frontline people. They think of, you know, the firefighters, and they're all first responders, of course, the police, but dispatchers
exactly.
are first responders too. And they're the ones obviously that are fielding the call. They're the mm-hmm. ones that are going through all these emotions. So I think we have to remember the dispatchers too, because they're the first yeah. call, and they suffer too. You don't have to visualize this stuff, or you don't have to see it. You visualize it, right? And you hear it.
Exactly. You hear it. You know, they're calling, somebody calls in who's being murdered and begging for help on the 911 call. The 911 operator has to listen to this person die as they're trying to get help there and doing everything in their power, or the parent who found their child in a pool. And the dispatcher is trying to help that person bring the child back to life, and the child doesn't come back. You know, that's all devastating for a dispatcher.
Yeah.
And also our doctors and nurses now, because of COVID, a lot of them are battling post-traumatic stress, because although people die in the hospital, they've never seen so much death on a daily basis.
Especially out in California.
Yeah.
Right. California was hard hit.
Yeah. In New York. And it's just awful. And I've seen people in that field talk about the post-traumatic stress, and family couldn't even go in as the people are passing. So one nurse, she said, I was the person who had to hold their hand all day, every day. My patients were dying.
Yeah.
You know, I had to be the one holding their hand. And she said, it just took its toll on me.
Yeah. And you made a great point. I mean, just because you're a first responder or you're on the front line as a medical professional and you see death occasionally,
mm-hmm.
when it's overwhelming, like you said, I mean, that's going to affect anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, especially a healthcare professional. I mean, yeah, they see death, but not to the degree, like you said, with COVID.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, it's been hard on everybody.
Now, where can people, sir, again, I just admire your work, and thank you so much for producing and directing this documentary, Wounded Heroes. I know it's on Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, and Vudu. Anywhere else they can find this?
Vimeo On Demand and YouTube Movies also has it. And the website is woundedheroesdocumentary.com. And on the site, you can see the trailer, but there's also links to all of the platforms where the film is available. You just click the link and it'll take you to the platform of your choice.
And everything will be linked up in the show notes for the listener. And Michael, you got a website out there. If people want to check out Michael Geyer and all the great stuff you're doing, brother, how can they find you?
Well, it's actually just my name, Michael Geyer, GIER.com. And that's got everything there, from my acting to my directing to producing to you name it. And we also, just to let you know, we have a sponsor, a hero program that we just launched, which has been fabulous because it gives people the opportunity to purchase screenings that we then give away to the heroes. And I had always wanted to give this film away. I never wanted to have people rent it, but we couldn't raise the money needed for the budget. Yeah. My wife and I ended up paying, funding the whole thing. So this is, we have to rent it to get reimbursed, but so this is still a way for people to get it for free. If people want to purchase screenings, you know, $4 is what it costs for a screening.
I was going to say so $4.
$20 saves, yeah. You know, helps five people, you know, and I just had a company give us $2,000. That helps 500 people, you know, who get to see the film and make a difference. So, yeah. You know, the Sponsor Hero program is definitely, I think, going to be beneficial for our heroes.
It's amazing. And everything will be linked up in the show notes, Michael, and to the listener. And you got to, once you see the trailer, folks, you're going to want to watch the whole documentary. Michael Geyer, thank you so much, my friend, for coming on the show and the great work you're doing. Much success to you in the future. Any way we can help you, my friend, please let me know.
Yeah, absolutely. Just share the film. Let people know who need to see it.
All right, brother. Take care.
Right, thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.